Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about the topic of consciousness. So please feel free to participate or to just listen. And I want to make you aware that we have a special guest tonight. Her name is Josephine Mitchell, and she's from the Dean Tribe of Canada. So we're honored to have her with us, and we will be bringing her onto the show a little bit later. But let me just ask you, Josephine, how are you tonight? Can you hear me, Josephine? Oh, I'm sorry. It would help to open your microphone, Josephine. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us. Technical difficulties with the operator of the studio, namely me.
That's right.
Well, Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you, David. Thanks for having us again. It's wonderful to have Josephine on the show. She and I have been friends since, I think, 2012, and she's a spiritual teacher from the Dean Nation there in Canada, an incredibly talented person. I'm very excited to hear what she has to say about consciousness and listen to her wisdom.
Well, I am too. I'm really looking forward to it because I believe consciousness is absolutely the key to moving through life in a fashion that is going with the flow, if you will. And even though life is hard, when we're conscious, we don't get caught up in all of the drama that can exist in life. It brings me to a great place of peace, and I can embrace all the positive energy, which includes love and joy and happiness and contentment. And so I'm really grateful the topic was raised for tonight. Thank you, Josephine. And don't mind my dog, Shadow. He's in the studio next to the studio, so we may hear from him once in a while. Apparently, he likes the topic, too.
He's just agreeing with you.
Yes, absolutely.
So scientists really have an explanation for consciousness. They have it's an awake state, so as opposed to sleep state, it's an awake state where a person is fully aware of his or her surroundings and understands, talks, moves, and responds normally. So that's what they would measure if you were in the hospital, whether or not you were conscious or unconscious. And that's pretty much where your materialism-driven atheist scientist person would be taking consciousness from, that perspective only. Anything else in their mindset is that it is thought processes are chemical reactions within the brain, and that is pretty much what you are, is just a bunch of chemicals in a meat suit. So they're coming from that perspective, which is absolutely perfectly fine, and I'm certainly not putting down science. That is their perspective. We also know that they cannot really fully tell us what consciousness is, and so they have had a lot of analysis and debates, and philosophers and scientists have had a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, and so it's also considered one of the most familiar yet mysterious aspects of our lives. And, of course, decreased consciousness is when a person appears to be awake and aware of their surroundings, but they're not responding normally, which, of course, you can see in a medical terminology as well. But as a spiritual people, we experience consciousness in a different way. And that's what you were talking about there, David. So I'd like to bring on Josie now and ask you, Josie, can you explain consciousness in a greater spiritual terminology, please?
Okay. All right. So with consciousness in like the spiritual aspect, it's really going within your heart and tapping in within that space of yourself. And when you do that, you're better able to flow through life, because you don't have those thought things floating through your head. So you're trying to clear your mind, and exactly what Kat was saying was respond to life as it comes, as to creating things in your head.
So you're saying that consciousness is an experience of responding to life as you are experiencing it within yourself, within your own mind? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, it's being observant of your thought process and going to where it stems from.
How is consciousness related to acceptance?
How is consciousness related to acceptance? More or less knowing that your presence is your future, your past, and your present all in one. So it's really about loving yourself and knowing that your story is just that. It's a story that you can refer to, but it doesn't say exactly who you are. And accepting that, you know, that your story is your story and that you are love, it's going within and accepting that we're all made up of just love.
Mm.
So can I just share what I feel is higher consciousness? Because that's what we're really talking about. Would you accept that, Josie, that we're talking more about higher consciousness rather than the scientific terminology of consciousness being an awake state?
Okay. Oh, you mean as for, like, listening to your guides?
I didn't hear what you said then.
She talked about listening to your guides.
Ah, okay. So when we're in a higher consciousness, we're getting a greater awareness and understanding and a knowing that is greater than what we have learned from books and from other people. It is a greater knowing that is an expansion of understanding, and it is not a learning, because when you're in that state of high consciousness, you already know it. It comes to all aspects of knowledge. It's like it's the bliss. It's like the absolute being of all is in your brain, and you are all as well. And from there, you can draw all aspects of knowing and then apply it to your life. So when you get into that state, the more that you get into that state, the less you are in the need to have the lower body mind as a controller of your life, and the less you are reliant on the lower body's, I'm trying to put it correctly. It is so difficult to actually put it. When you're experiencing it and you know it, it's always there. It's so easy to tap into it. And, of course, the best way is through meditation. But I'm trying to explain it in a way that makes sense, because my internal knowing always makes sense to me about it. But it's like tapping into a greater brain than yours, a greater knowledge bank than the one that you have, but then being that knowledge bank itself. Does that make sense to you, Josie?
Yeah. It's like, yes, it's tapping into a higher frequency.
Would that be your higher self, Josephine?
Yeah, it would be. It's like, say if you were to be in theta state, but in theta state awake. So you're in your higher self, but yet you're still able to function here with your eyes open.
I was reading about... Go ahead, Kat.
Oh, no, you go ahead, David.
No, I was just reading about four different modes of consciousness. And, of course, we've been talking primarily about the waking mode and how you can achieve the beta state in the waking mode and still function and tap in perhaps a little bit more. And what I'm reading here, and I'd like to hear your comments on it, Josephine, it also talks about the deep sleep mode, the dreaming mode, the REM sleep, and the integrative mode. And I have no idea what that might be. But I'm wondering if you wanted to address those other modes of consciousness.
Okay. Okay, so what were they again, sorry?
The deep sleep mode, the dream mode, and the integrative mode. And that, I don't know what they're talking about.
Okay. The deep is like where that would be more of like the meditation I feel would be more of like the deep, because you're finding that deep space within, and the dream consciousness is more like lucid dreaming, where you're able to control what's happening in your dream. And integrated, I'm not quite sure what that word means.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting word. I'm taking it to mean the combination of the different modes, but I have no idea of the other modes. I guess that question's going to remain unanswered, and it doesn't really matter. Kat, you were going to say something.
And I forgot what I was going to say. Isn't that great?
That's what happens when you turn it over to somebody else for a moment. Perhaps you weren't being very conscious at the moment.
No,
you've just gone with the flow.
Oh, no. So states of consciousness, including hypnotic states, meditative states, drug-induced states, they're all states of ways of thinking, of seeing through your mind's eye. So you go to sleep and then you can have different states of consciousness within your sleep. So states of consciousness, i.e. being awake and aware. Even though the body is asleep, the mind is still awake and aware. And that's why hypnosis works, isn't it? Because they put your body to sleep, you go deeper, 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 and then you have awake and aware state still, and then they can make suggestions that you're in such an awake and aware state that you're actually in the subconscious mind. That's kind of funky. And so they can then help you to stop smoking, lose weight, stop focusing on pain so much, whatever the chronic condition is that you have, and then bring you back to being in conscious awakeness, which is just, you know, you get up, you go around, you have your daily life. So I think that's what Josie was talking about, is the different meditative states, sleep states, hypnotic states that you can go into. You know, it's very, very well covered, the state of astral consciousness. Josie, can you talk about astral consciousness, please?
Astral consciousness? Yeah. That is where you're consciously coming out of your body. So it's getting into that, like, that REM state of, like, meditation, of calming your body and being able to lift yourself out of your physical sense and into, like, the astral aspect. And usually, you know, like, when you're starting to go into the astral, you'll usually hear like a huge humming or like a buzzing sound in your ear, and then your body will start to tingle, and then usually some people will have that jump or that feeling of jumping, and sometimes you can get out, but sometimes usually that jump will freak a person out and wake them up.
I'm just wondering if, for those that don't know what astral consciousness is, if you could explain that a little bit more.
Okay. We are connected by, like, these energy cords. And so in our sleeping state, we ride these cords, and we can go into space or different planets and into pretty much anything where energy it flows. So most people, you know, like, will have dreams where they can see themselves lying there, and usually that what they're doing is that their energy body is sailing through on this cord, and it connects us to pretty much everything. It just takes practice on how to reach those levels of being able to get out of the body. But it takes a lot of meditation and practice.
Thank you. Kat, I heard you.
I was just going to paraphrase so that I understand what Josie's saying. So she's saying that astral consciousness is a state of energetic awareness that we all have. It's the body within the body. It's the energetic body of you and I. And it's connected to the physical body through the silver cord, which is well documented. And from the state of energetic consciousness, which is the aware state in the energetic body that you occupy as a thought being, you are then able to go anywhere within the universe, the planet, go visit friends, whatever you want to do, because everything is energy. And as an energy form, you are able, energetic thought form, you are able to get about and experience life and the universe and everything on an energetic level. Is that correct? Is that a correct understanding of what you've just said, Josie?
Yes, you are so good at these words.
She is, isn't she? Yeah.
That's just my training.
Good training.
Yeah, so, Josie, when you're experiencing different levels of consciousness, now I want to address some of the things that, you know, a lay person would be thinking about with consciousness. And so they'd be thinking about victim mindset. They'd be thinking about taking control of self, personal development. They'd be thinking about being competent or incompetent, body consciousness, that sort of thing. Are any of these aspects of consciousness going to affect you if you go choose to take on the higher consciousness as part of your daily life?
Okay. Can you say that again?
Yeah. So, different. You know, lay people, when you go down, you walk down the street and you buy a bottle of milk and you talk to somebody there, and you just ask them what they think of consciousness, they're going to think it's being awake. They're going to think that it's a victim mindset, for example, or it's some kind of taking control of yourself, maybe personal development, maybe. They may also think it's some level of, you know, you're conscious or you're not conscious, meaning you're competent or you're not competent. And then another thing that lay people would talk about when it comes to consciousness is body consciousness, being self-conscious, that sort of thing. Are any of these mindsets about consciousness holding you back from higher consciousness or improving your chances of getting into higher consciousness?
Hanging on to stuff that no longer serves you. Also hanging on to people that are toxic or less than harmonious. So hanging on to situations that are no longer serving you attach you to a cord. And so what happens is that you're connected to all these energetic things that no longer serve you and actually can prevent you from rising. You have to let these things go or come to the understanding or the lesson of what the relationship was with the person or what the addicts or alcoholism, even hanging on to, people that bring down your energy. And if you're constantly feeding your energy to other people, well, you're going to deplete yourself, which is going to end up making you sick because you're busy taking care of other people and your energy starts to become really heavy. And so, which causes illnesses and things, dis-ease in the body. And so having good health and, you know, healthy relationships and, you know, like really being aware of your thought process as well. Because thinking less than harmonious can also keep you in heavy space. So it's, you know, like having that consciousness of, you know, your thought process and knowing that, allowing it to flow because it's flowing for a purpose, you know, but you got to see what that purpose is. So it's definitely, you know, like, there's a few things that, you know, like the meditation as well. So you have to have that, you know, that healthy mind, the healthy body, and then you're able to reach those higher levels, and you have to be well rested as well. and listen to your body.
When you're reaching, you're talking about reaching higher levels, you're not actually talking as if you're getting going up an elevator into a high-rise building, are you? You're talking about more refined vibrational levels of consciousness. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
If I was out there partying, fornicating, eating lots of junk food, not really caring what I said to anybody and how I cared for myself, what level of vibrational consciousness would that be as opposed to the higher consciousness you're talking about?
That would be more third level, physical level, because the physical realm is more what they're focused on. And as you get into the higher consciousness, you're better able to to hear your soul voice, or you know, the voices of your guidance and such. There's the levels of the chakras and stuff like that. So that comes into play as well with reaching those levels of consciousness. Letting go of those bad habits
That's okay. So just going back to, David, you were saying that when you get into a lower state of consciousness in a lower vibration, you're not focused on the greater experience of life, whereas when you become more aware of the higher state of consciousness, the things that are not that used to seem important to you become less important. Would you say that that's what you were thinking when last time you spoke, David?
Yes, I would. I believe that we live in a vibrational universe, and that we can tap into those higher levels of consciousness that bring us to a better place within ourselves and within our lives. I was interested in asking you, Josie, how spirit guides relate to a state of higher consciousness.
With the spirit guides and that connection, we all have that inner voice that sometimes it sounds like us, but sometimes it doesn't. And when we're in that higher consciousness, we can connect to those higher vibrational beings, and they're guiding us, but they're also there by us asking. So we have free will, and so we go about our lives, you know, like being conscious and choosing our paths instead of making choices for ourselves. So sometimes when we're in meditation and we have a question or an intention, we could go into meditation and put those intentions and see what messages come through. It could come through as a vision. It could come through as a sound, by using your senses. And by being conscious and aware of your body and your senses, then you're more so able to tap into those beings that you're wanting to connect to.
Thank you.
So when you're tapping into other beings that you're wanting to connect to, they're thoughts, basically, aren't they? Because we're all thought forms. So they are the thought forms. And how would you approach another being of a higher understanding if you were wanting to gain knowledge from someone else? So, for example, I wanted to approach the yogi Saint Babaji. How would I approach him?
Through meditation, intention, and letting go of expectations of receiving a message, but allowing.
So through meditation, intention, letting go of expectation and allowing. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you explain what allowing is for people that might not follow you?
Okay. Allowing is allowing those thought process and things to flow through, and because sometimes we don't know if it is consciousness or our imagination. And I find that if it comes from you, it's your imagination. But if it comes from outside of yourself, then that is the connection.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I know I'm asking you a lot of questions, Josie, but I'm really interested to learn what you know. When you're in meditation and you're in that state of seeking higher consciousness, what do you do there when you realize that you're in the higher consciousness? How do you know?
You'll feel body tingles. You will get to the place of stillness where it's just you, and you can hear your heart. You can hear your breathing, and you just have this feeling of being all one with all. And you're
how
like,
do we maintain that in our waking reality? I mean, when we're not meditating, how do we maintain staying in a state of consciousness?
By being aware of your surroundings, by listening, because you can't listen and think at the same time. So
right.
By listening, by, you know, like by being aware of the signs and things that are around you, because like the universe is constantly speaking to you. And so when you're in your head thinking, your messages could be coming and you're missing them because you're too busy in your thought process or your past or your story.
What's the difference between consciousness and being present?
Consciousness and being present. They're almost similar. Consciousness is being using all of your senses, you being in the moment, and being present is focusing on that present moment. But you have to be careful, because when you're trying to seek the present moment, you're missing the present moment.
Gotcha. That's very true.
No.
Yeah.
Is kind of Is rhetorical the correct word, David, for that?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? So, obviously anyone who wants to grow spiritually is going to want to access the higher state of consciousness. Now, for religious people, their experience of higher state of consciousness varies from religion to religion, but they tend to have an external being, supreme being, that represents higher state of consciousness. Can they still experience higher state of consciousness within the boundaries of their religion?
Absolutely.
And how would they do that? In general terms, because every religion is different.
Okay, yes. They would connect to whatever it is that they call their higher consciousness or higher God. So they would focus on their God and still go within and still do the same steps and same process, but it would be just towards their God and not going within and seeking within, but more so within their God. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I'm just wondering how prayer plays into consciousness, because that seems to be a big part of many religions, and it differs from meditation.
Prayer is asking God, and meditation is receiving a message.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Pardon?
So prayer it would be the same thing as us asking, you know, like say an angel or another being for help. So it would be beyond their religious deities.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So that's the difference between exoteric and esoteric experience of spirituality. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So exoteric meaning to externalize your spirituality and ask something outside of you for understanding. Esoteric meaning internalize your spirituality and ask something within you for understanding. And then in both respects, you would still receive some kind of answer, would you not?
Yes. Yes, you would.
So when we're going for a higher consciousness, at what point does somebody who's praying begin to meditate? Because I know of people who pray and pray and pray and pray and pray to the point that they're in some sort of trance. Is that a crossover into meditation and going into an altered state or a higher state of consciousness?
I would believe so, yeah. Like it would, because you're going into, you know, like that state, you know, without realizing, you know, like you're there and you're tapping into the energy.
Yeah, see, I find that quite interesting. And I mean, there's different extremes of meditation. And I suppose that's a topic for another show. Because I start getting pretty interested in different people and the way that they do things to try and access nirvana, which is, would nirvana be the higher consciousness that people are seeking, that bliss that Paramahansa Yogananda used to talk about, that our current guru saint who's alive now, Sadhguru, talks about? Is, I mean, he talks about just the incredible chemical factory that is your brain, and how in his inner engineering course that you can access that and you can just totally bliss out. And through that, you by learning how to use the brain properly, you can access higher states of consciousness, and you don't need, you know, ayahuasca and other drugs to get yourself there. But they're certainly useful. And you are a Native American who has a, you know, in your ancestral history, to my layperson, little Scots Australian understanding, American Native American Indian people have used plants, certain sacred plants, to help them access higher states of consciousness. Is that relevant in today's society to do that? Or has that the aspect of that made it as such that we're actually funneling ourselves towards having to look at other ways to get there?
Well, there you can use like the drug aspect to reach those higher states, but by breathing and really concentrating, you can reach those levels, because that's the Buddhists reach those levels by discipline and eating properly, and a person could get to that. If, you know, like, if they followed, like, a certain regime, I guess, to reach that aspect. But Native Americans, like, as for myself, I don't use anything to reach those higher aspects. I use, like, the meditation and the breathing.
So meditation and breathing, anyone can do any time they're not driving a vehicle and they're in a quiet room. Is that right?
Yeah, you could do it anywhere. You could be sitting at the doctor's office and 5 minutes just tapping in.
And does when you're getting into higher consciousness versus just the simple awake state, getting up, having breakfast, going to work, doing the daily grind, come home, watch TV, go to bed, rinse, repeat. When you start to use higher consciousness in your daily life, how does that improve your life?
Routines actually are not good for consciousness, because then you're running into, you know, like a routine of unconsciousness. So it's, you know, so it's something that you really you're more wanting to go a different way when you go to work, to do your day different every, you know, as you're guided, because that's when you know that you're consciously aware of what your day is going through. But when you get into that routine, then you're no longer conscious, because now you're listening to your brain, where your brain is saying, okay, now you're going to go home and you're going to have, you know, some dinner. And then after dinner, you're going to do the dishes. And then so you start to get into more or less the unconscious and not so much the conscious.
I just wanted to let you both know that we do have a caller on the line. And I'd be interested in whether or not they have any questions or comments. So I'm going to come to you, caller, area code 434, and just ask you your first name. What is your first name, please?
Khalil.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Khalil.
Leo?
Yeah.
Leo, is there anything that you'd like to share or any comments or questions you have?
I was wondering, do you give any appointments for hypnosis? Because you were talking about hypnosis, like if I could, like, you know, contact you one day for a hypnosis or something like that.
No, I'm not a licensed hypnotherapist. We were just talking about the consciousness that you can get into during hypnosis rather than advertising our services.
Okay.
Is that all you wanted to know, Leo?
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for calling and listening. Please continue to listen. If it suits your purpose. We do.
David, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say we have about 5 more minutes before we're going to go into meditation. So, yeah, Kat, go ahead. You've got a question or comment.
I just thought, you know, it's interesting that this gentleman wanted to know about hypnosis, and what are your thoughts on accessing the higher consciousness through hypnosis? I know I've listened to several hypnotherapists who have done studies on the soul from their own experiences with clients, and I actually know a lady here in Brisbane who has done studies on past life regression herself as a hypnotherapist. How do you feel about hypnotherapy and accessing the Akashic records, or for those who don't know what Akashic records are, they're just simply the memory banks of your own self, your own soul, and the greater Akasha, of course, of the universe, of the humanity, and of all animals. All memories are stored in the Akasha. So when somebody goes into hypnotherapy, and particular to access different parts of their mind and their memory, are they going into a higher state of consciousness, Josie, or are they going into some other kind of consciousness? What's your understanding there?
I would have to say that they are tapping into different parts of the brain. I'm sorry. That completely lost my thought process.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Sorry. It was good.
I like the beginning of your answer. You were saying that they're going into a different part of the brain. So, you know, the scientists only talk about us really utilizing 10% of our brain capacity. And so accessing different parts of the brain and then bringing that capacity forward into the waking consciousness, do you think that that would be part of humanity evolving into a higher way of being?
I would have to say that really there's really no purpose in tapping into past lives unless, you know, like, say it's for, like, a healing purpose. But really, we're here about what our purpose here in this life. So you can tap into past lives, but really we're more so here to learn about, you know, like the new lessons and things that
are meant for our life purpose. Tapping into the Akashic records, anybody can go there. But really it's having a purpose and intention and having that higher vibration to be able to tap in to seek that higher knowledge. But really it's, you really have to have a really good purpose as to why you need to seek that knowledge, because sometimes you may not be able to see that because it might be something that you need to experience for a soul lesson.
What I'm hearing is it's the present life that really counts. And
yeah.
If we're going to be conscious, we need to focus on the here and now. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that is all we really have is the now. That's the whole point of mindfulness, isn't it? Is to really just be present in the moment and in the now. And so when we're talking about consciousness and higher consciousness, how does mindfulness play into that, into having a consistent experience of that higher consciousness state?
It's letting go of your ego, like being present constantly. And by being in those higher levels or by being conscious, you're able to tap into the higher levels because you're aware and you're not trapped in your thoughts, but you're in the moment. It's like going into the abyss of yourself and being in that state awake. So you're literally keeping yourself in that space of stillness and going about your day in that space, but being aware of your surroundings and being creating in the moment and responding in the moment to what life flows to you.
I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a really beautiful way of describing it, isn't it, David?
Yes.
So, Josie, you nominated the topic for today, and why was that? What made you want to talk about consciousness?
I was in the shower, and I was thinking, like, okay, so what topic would be best suited that I could, that I could share? And as I was in the shower, I got consciousness, and I was like, oh, okay, I could do that. All right, thank you. And so when I got out of the shower, I messaged Kat and said, I got that I'm to share about this.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Are there any closing thoughts that you'd like to put forward, Josephine? And by the way, folks, we're being joined today by Josephine Mitchell. She is a Native American from the Dean. Is it the Dean Tribe or Nation up in Canada?
Dene and Cree.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry for mispronouncing that. Mm-hmm. At any rate, do you have any closing thoughts?
Be gentle and speak your truth and walk in compassion and integrity.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Kat, do you have any final comments before we go to meditation?
No, I loved everything that Josie said then.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Something I always say to my son is honor and dignity always.
I like that too. Thank you. Are you going to do meditation this week, Kat? We didn't discuss that.
No, we didn't.
Oh, did we?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I guess I'm not very conscious.
No, I'm happy to do it. But I'm wondering, Josie, would you take us through a meditation being our guest? Would that be all right? In particular, bringing us into trying to experience a higher consciousness?
Sure.
Yeah, all in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
No pressure.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to take 3 deep breaths. So I want you to inhale, and I want you to breathe right down to your belly. And then exhale, and another deep breath in, and exhale. And you'll start to feel like your body is starting to tingle as you relax. I want you to imagine that you are in a dark room and you're being lifted up into the stars. And you can feel the air, and you can feel, you know, like you could see the stars, and you can feel the lightness of your body. And as you look around, I want you to go out just a little bit and see how far you can go. And then I want you to go someplace in the world where you haven't been before. Somewhere you've always wanted to see. And I want you to imagine that you're speeding there. You're on a star and you're flying there. And I want you just to have a look around. See what you see. Is there a building? Is there people? What do they look like? Is it nighttime? Is it daytime? And then I want you to get back on your star, and it kind of brings you back up into the sky. And then it's going to bring you back towards your body, and it's going to put you in your body. And then you're going to go from your mind into your heart. And I want you to feel what that feels like. And if it helps, put your fingers or your hands over your heart. Because where you touch, your thoughts and your feelings go. And I want you to feel the sensations of what it feels like to be in this space. And I want you to imagine that there is green light coming up from your feet, up into your legs, up into your waist, going up your body, up into your heart. And I want you to keep filling your heart space and expand it. Just keep expanding your heart space. And you may feel some emotions or feelings that you may not be familiar with, but just allow it to flow. And so now I want you to pull that energy up into your throat chakra, up into your head, out the top of your head. And now I want you to see a golden ball going into your head, going all the way down your body, through your waist, down your legs, and into the earth. And as it's going down, it's pushing out energy that no longer serves you. So it's like a cleanse. And then I want you to draw the energy up your legs, up your body, all the way up through and out the top of your head again. And then expand that energy. So it's kind of like a tube
a white tube, and then come back into your heart space, back up into your mind, and then wiggle your fingers and toes, and back in the room.
Thank you so much, Josie.
You're welcome.
That was beautiful. Just lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Loved it.
Thank you, Kat.
And thank you, David. And thank you to everyone who joined us and tuned in. And, of course, please go hop on over to our Facebook page at The Healing Circle with David and Kat. David Clark and Kat Edwards, and click on like there. And if you would like to discuss a topic on the show, please let us know what that topic is. You can write on the in the comments on the pinned post, or you can send us a message. And also, if you are tuning in and you would like to make a comment during the show but you don't want to ring, just pop that comment down into the comment section on the relevant show that's been advertised on the radio show page. And be sure to listen to us next week on Sunday evening, Eastern Standard Time, North America. Our Monday morning, Eastern Standard Time, Brisbane, here in Australia. At 10:30, I should say. I better say that too.
To, we're still on Eastern Daylight Time here in the States.
No, are you?
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Well,
see, Australia's in daylight saving time now, too.
You know what? I think, let me double check. Next weekend might be the weekend we go to Standard Time. I'm just going to check that out right now so we can be clear. Okay, let's see. Here we go. The answer is yes. Next weekend, we will be on Eastern Standard Time. Kat, excuse the correction. You were right.
Amazing. I was right.
Yeah. So we'll have to coordinate times then between you and me, because I'm not sure what the – we're going to be moving back an hour here.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have a chit-chat about that.
Okay, great. So, thank you again, Josephine. We appreciate your presence today.
Yeah, thank you. It's very insightful. Loved having you on the show. Please join us again another time.
Thank you so much.
And before we go, Josie, how can people contact you to have a private session? Josie's an amazing spiritual teacher. She's an amazing guide, and she can help you with your life direction and issues that you may have spiritually, or just in how you're going to navigate a problem or issue in your life. So how can people contact you and make a session time with you?
On Facebook or email.
And what Facebook page?
They can find me under Josie Michelle or the White Owl page.
On White Owl. So if you seek out White Owl, Josie Michelle, and make sure that you get over there. I'll put the link to her page on the radio show's Facebook profile. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am grateful.
Oh, so am I. Thank you. Have a beautiful evening.
Both you as
thanks,
well.
Everyone.
Good night, all.
Love and night.